This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaunee with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. It's now 9.06 in the morning, 21st of July, Tuesday. And before we get into more corporate news, in half an hour, we have the BBC World Service on The Morning Run. And the race for the next head of the World Trade Organization is underway with 8 candidates in the running. So on today's program, Manuela Zaragoza speaks to one of the candidates, Jesus Cid of Mexico, on the challenges faced by the WTO and how he would deal with them. And that's going to be happening after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, let's take a look at the activity on Bursa Malaysia.
Hooray, 7 minutes into the trading day. Now earlier, as literally like 10 seconds ago, the KLCI was in the green. Now it's swung to the red. It's down 0.08% on the day and a 0.04% decline year to date. The KLCI is at 1,588 points. And surprise, surprise, or no surprise, the glove guys are back in vogue, still in vogue, remain in vogue. Top Glove, 2450, Supermax, 1772. Those two aforementioned having announced plans to have bonus issues, which Wong Xiaoning will offer a primer on in a few seconds' time. Comfort Glove is at 407, Heart Elegance at 1736, Kosan Rubber, 1440, and Carlsberg has made a surprise entry to the value counters, $25.30, about 8.25 million ringgit worth of stock changing hands. Ancom still rising for nearly 50 cents. They're doing this RTO, and that's sent their shares into the stratosphere from the 30 cent odd levels the last few days. CarePlus 190, Bursa Malaysia 999, having earlier passed the 10 ringgit mark. Obviously, they have been upgraded because of all this velocity and volume on the share market.
Yeah, even in the US markets were rather upbeat on the back of potential vaccine prospects and, of course, more US fiscal stimulus. The Dow was relatively flat, closed flat, and the S&P 500 closed up 0.8%, while the Nasdaq had another record day, up actually 2.5%, bringing the year-to-date climb up 20%. Amazing in the COVID-19 era, right? So for more insights into global markets, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Now, Joe, last night US markets closed higher. The S&P 500 went back to its pre-COVID levels, with stay-at-home stocks the big winners. Now, is this confirmation of this V-shaped recovery?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a V-shaped recovery, maybe in the stock market, but that's divorced from Main Street. So we still have a lot of work to do with industrial production, restaurants, hotels, tourism, airlines. So it's a good sign. You know, the stock market's a leading indicator. Sometimes it's not always right, but I do think slowly but surely the U.S. economy is coming is reopening and going to help drive earnings into the Q3, Q4.
Yeah, tech had another huge day yesterday, and of course we know earnings season has begun. IBM reported last night, and Microsoft and Intel this week. What's your sense of the results of the earnings of those tech companies so far, Joe, and going forward?
Well, the biggest thing to realize, if you're sitting in Malaysia and you want to buy Microsoft or just some of these big tech companies, technology companies as a percentage of market cap, as a percentage of earnings, S&P earnings, near or at record high. So you want to be careful. But on pullbacks, these companies look attractive because when you look into the future, like 2025, let's look out 5 years, these are great companies, great platforms, great products, services, and they have the digitalization of the global economy behind them. So we're still very much of the opinion that you want to own healthcare, technology, health tech, we call it. But, you know, don't pay too much. And we'll see pullbacks between now and whenever, the election, for instance, that's when you want to step in. But these are stocks for the long term, so they're attractive.
And Joe, earlier on, you mentioned the somewhat divorced reality from Main Street. So what are your expectations in terms of U.S. jobless claims numbers, which will be released this Thursday? I mean, last week's figure showed a slight improvement. So are we going to see better numbers this week?
I mean, I think we would have saw better numbers if we weren't seeing such problems with the kind of the closing and kind of the shutting down of certain states, Texas, Florida, California, Arizona. These are big states. So I don't expect much improvement, but I don't see a real deterioration what we saw in April and May. April was the darkest month of the year, and I think that's what the markets are trading off. You know, May, June, July, August, we're working our way through this, but like I don't think anything compares with like April. So I think the numbers could be better if we had better control over COVID-19. We're not there yet, but they're not going to be horrific either because, remember, we got a lot of job openings here in this country. I know the unemployment rate is high in this country, but at the same time, when you look at the JOLTS number, which is like the job openings, there's still a lot of demand for workers. So it's a mismatch. But I think at the end of the day, the U.S. economy is slowly but surely gaining traction. And, you know, there's certain industries where it's not happening. It's going to be slower. But in general, it's pushing forward.
And Joe, there are reports that BlackRock and other funds are shifting money away from China to emerging markets. First of all, what does this mean for the this rally on the Chinese equity market? And secondly, are we going to see a super bull phase for emerging markets?
When we come to the emerging markets, we're focused on Northeast Asia, and it's China, Taiwan, South Korea. It's tech-related, which is good for Malaysia. And I don't see, I mean, Brazil has done a, you know, the market's taken off, but they're still struggling with COVID-19. They're still a commodity producer. So I wouldn't chase or reallocate out of China, Malaysia, South Korea, Taiwan here, because I do think when it comes to technology, the digitalization of the global economy, everyone working remotely, buying online, e-commerce, we're in the early innings. That's what people have to realize. We're in the early innings of what it means to work at home, buy online, go to school online. And I do think those tech champions in Northeast Asia, China, South Korea, Taiwan, Malaysia, because of their infrastructure, are the winners. So like, I wouldn't leave them, and I would buy them on the pullbacks.
And Joe, looking at Europe, right, there seems to be a deadlock over the 715 billion euro stimulus package. So what's the main issues preventing a resolution, and what kind of impact will it have on European markets then?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of clients ask about Europe and the prospects there and stepping in and finally buying Europe. I think it's up to Germany and France, particularly Germany, to pull Europe together, create that fiscal union, banking union, mutualized debt. I mean, all across the board, this is Europe's moment to shine. And, you know, if they fumble it, they may never get this opportunity again because they're stuck between China and the United States when it comes to technology, geopolitics. So this is a big moment for Europe. And I'm optimistic that in some way, somehow, they'll cobble together an agreement, paper it over, so to speak, that they'll come together and make this work. So we like the life sciences, particularly in Europe. There's some great pharmaceutical companies in Europe that are in it, that are in the race for COVID-19. There's some good electrical vehicles, renewable energy. Watch Europe when it comes to the green revolution. Europe will lead the way when it comes to renewable energy, and there's a lot of good stocks out there that look attractive. And then also when it comes to 5G, the United States versus China. Well, there's a lot of U.S. There's a couple of European companies that could be winners as we default to them.
Thank you for your time, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, telling us, surprisingly, that Europe is leading the green revolution. I know they started way ahead before anybody else because there's a lot of ESG funds, for example. So some of the things he asked us to look out for in Europe are life sciences also, pharmaceutical companies, electric vehicles, and actually 5G. Because if you don't want to buy Huawei equipment, what are your other options? Probably names like Ericsson and Nokia.
Yeah, I guess so. And if you're a big contrarian, Europe is where you put your money into now. But you would be a very brave man to do that and ignore US tech or China tech. I mean, Alibaba's Ant Financial is coming out in a matter of, I don't know, it could be weeks, right? Because yep. Bloomberg doesn't mince around with it. It doesn't get its sources wrong, typically, right?
One source as opposed to, or two sources.
No, they get multiple sources on both sides of the deal. I know, because they've got these kind of things, right? So it $200 billion, and you think that's crazy, but it is what it is. And I also want to correct myself, because I earlier said this morning that Alibaba came out with a $25 billion valuation, and it's now $650 million, 24x returns. It's, in fact, no, it's not true. Alibaba came out with a $200 billion valuation, and tripled over the course of the next 6 years to the current $650 billion.
Still a lot.
But when you compare to Facebook, remember Facebook when it came out 2014, along with FGV, was two of the world's biggest IPOs.
And I'm not wrong, Facebook actually went below the IPO price for
a while.
I think they traded
at $28 at some point. So they came up with a $65 billion valuation, which everybody thought was crazy. But now look at them, right? They're over 700. So they're 10 times. Yeah. So if you're going to think Ant Financial at 200 is crazy, they could be 2 trillion in 5 years' time.
I guess the question is, do you have a killer application? Do you have a killer technology that no one else has, that you see, you know, being utilized by everybody, whether it's COVID-19 or post-COVID-19, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, you know, this, whatever the price, the market somehow seems to be prepared to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because there's actually in this, you know, I would say global slowdown, there are very few companies where you're really going to see earnings growth. And these tech companies with the intellectual property as well, plus the earnings growth, you know, it's like a you can't lose. So everybody is playing these names, right? They have money in it.
Well, the killer app is China, and they've got Ant Financial has got a 55% market share of a $25 trillion market, technology services. So that's that's the killer app right there.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, just to it's an interesting note, the Bursa Malaysia actually pushed the trading volume above 12 billion mark for the first time in history. So, wow, you know, never before. And this is actually on the back of technology sector also happening in Malaysia. So it dominated about 42% of the shares traded yesterday. So trading volume touched about 12.5 billion with a turnover of 6.6 billion ringgit yesterday. Also helped by none other than the glove guys and the health-related stocks. So the valuation of Bursa Malaysia tech sector, for example, is hovering at the highest level in about 6 years. So the price-earnings ratio tech sector, only 42 times, but still cheaper than US. Surprise, surprise. But up next, we're going to take a look at more market news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.